Take our Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter 5. We are having our prayer and youth classes tonight, 5:30, so remember that. Come out and be in those gatherings as the Lord would lead. Genesis chapter 5, we're going to read verse 1 through 5 for our text this morning. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them and blessed them. And called their name Adam in the day when they were created. And Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth. The days of Adam after he had begotten Seth were 800 years and he begot sons and daughters. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. We come back to the thought, in the beginning God created man. We find here a record of the genealogy of Adam, and we're brought back to consider that in the beginning God created man. We saw last week in the last verse of chapter 4 that to Seth, to him also was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord through the line of Seth. We find men beginning to pray, beginning to call upon the name of the Lord, beginning to be more public in their worship of God. We see man distinguishing himself from other men. The line of Cain was the wicked line, the ungodly line. But the line of Seth we see as the godly line, the godly people. And God calls them, as he calls all of his people, to separate from the world. And they began to be more notably separated from the world through this passage of scripture that we've considered. And we have called the line of Cain, the ungodly line, the line of Seth, the godly line. And in this fifth chapter, God brings us back to Adam, which will have a son by the name of Seth. And so we see what is called the genealogies of, or the generations of Adam, but we can also see in this fifth chapter that this line of Seth was the godly line and the line through which we find ourselves coming to the flood, and we find Noah being born and Noah building the ark, and that godly line being the only line that continues after the flood until the sons of Noah multiply and replenish the earth following the flood. In this fifth chapter of Genesis, we find somewhere around nine or more texts, nine or more portions of scripture that could be taken and the context considered There are several texts in the book of Genesis chapter 5 that only have three verses in them. And we're probably not going to look at all of these passages of Scripture in the weeks that come before us. But we're going to look at the first five verses as our text today and what it contains and what the context teaches us. And then maybe we'll move over to about verse 21 next week and consider the text concerning Enoch and what we can learn from that portion of Scripture. So you pray that the Lord would help us, lead us and guide us, give us His Word, understanding of His Word, comprehension of what each text lays and has before us. It's very simple to understand these portions of Scripture in Genesis 5. We see God in the first verse creating man. We see God creating man, male and female. We see God creating man in His own image. We see God blessing Adam with a son by the name of Seth. And we see Seth being brought forth not in God's image, but in the image of Adam. In verse number 1, this is the book of the generations of Adam. The only place you find that in the Bible is here and in Matthew chapter 1. That statement, this is the book of the generations of, it's found in Matthew chapter 1 concerning Jesus Christ, the second Adam. But this is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day God created man, in the likeness of God made He him. He reminds us that God created man, and originally when God created man, man was made in His image. Was made in God's image. And verse number 2 tells us that God created man, male and female. Male and female created He them, and He blessed them. And He called their name Adam in the day that they were created. God created man, and we're reminded of that fact. Male and female, God created them. We're reminded of that. And we find also, and we're reminded of the fact that God blessed them. This doesn't mean just that God prospered them or God provided something for them. But I believe a big part of what He is saying there when it says God blessed them is that God pronounced a blessing upon them. God created man in God's image. God created man, and God said, "This is good. Man is good." He pronounced a blessing upon man that He had made man, male and female, and it was good. And verse number 3 tells us Adam lived 130 years, and he begat a son. You don't really realize how much time has passed since Adam and Eve were made, and they had Cain and Abel was killed, and then Seth was born to be the replacement of Abel. You don't really realize that 130 years is said to have passed according to verse number 3. And the days of Adam after he had begotten Seth were 800 years, and he begot sons and daughters. When he was 130 years old, he brought forth a son named Seth. After Seth was born, Adam lived another 800 years. And we read in verse number 5 that all the days that Adam lived were 930 years. God created man in the image of God. God created them. male and female, he created them. And God was pleased and God pronounced it good. And Adam, after 130 years, brought forth a son named Seth. After Seth came, he lived another 800 years. And Adam lived a total of 930 years, which to us sounds very unusual. But to the day and time in which we're looking at it, it wasn't unusual at all. Because God created man perfect. God created man sinless. God created man in a perfect world, in a perfect environment. Though man has fallen and man has been cast out of the garden, the effects of sin are still minimal. This is still very early in the creation record. And it was common for men to live hundreds of years. And we don't believe that's fiction. We don't believe that's fairy tale. We believe that's exactly how long they lived. And they will live great number of years all the way through to the seventh generation, I think it is, and the coming of the flood. And then a drastic shift begins to be found in Scripture, and God declares that man, as these things decline, would live only about 70 years. And in our day and time, that's still the average, 70 years. Some live to 80, some live to 90, a few live to 100, some don't live to be 30, some don't live to be 40. But the average is said to be in our day and time around 70 years of age. That's 70. Score being 20, 70 would be 60. Plus 10 would be 70. And we find in verse number 4 that after Seth was born, Adam lived 800 years. And he begot other sons and daughters. Man was multiplying. Man was multiplying rapidly. And those who came through the line of Cain were multiplying quickly. Those who would come through the line of Seth multiplied quickly. And all through this fifth chapter, when one of those generations that are mentioned in this passage is told who they gave birth to show us this line of godly individuals, I think every single time it is said that they had sons and daughters, multiple sons and daughters. So pick up on the fact that God created Adam and Eve, told them to go forth and multiply, replenish the earth. And man has always done that. And the earth was populated through those measures. And all of these generations that we read about in this portion of Scripture, they have sons and daughters. Sons and daughters. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years. And he died. And he died. As you go through this fifth chapter, and you see the birth of Seth, and you see the birth of Enos, and you see the birth of Canaan, and you see the birth of Mahalalel, Jared, Enoch, Methuselah, Lamech, you go through this line, their stories all in the same. And they died. And they died. And they died. That is so significant. That is such an important statement. It's still true today, no matter who's born. It doesn't matter how long they live. Sooner or later, it's going to be written, and they died. And they died. That's going to be said about you someday. If Jesus Christ does not come again before you leave this earth, there's going to come a time you're going to die. And it'll be said, they lived, they did this, and they died. I would say that barring the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, everybody here is one day going to have a traditional funeral of some kind. And you'll be remembered and you'll be thought of. But then it'll be said, and they died. And they died. There's so much in this little passage of Scripture, in these short little five verses of Genesis 5. It tells us God created man in his own image. Male and female created he them. I point out to you once again how God seems to go out of his way to emphasize the fact that he made man male and female. From the very beginning, God wants it understood that he created man male and female. God wants it understood from the very beginning that he wants his creatures to observe sexual ethics. Sexual ethics. And we see in the example of Eve that she broke that desire right from the very beginning. But God made man male and female. And God expects man to observe that principle and that pattern. Though man has since the beginning been fighting and resisting, we're reminded that God made man male and female. Through these many thousands of years, we come to 2024 and man is still fighting the sexual ethics that God gives us in his word. I would say, and I don't hesitate to say this, more than ever before, man is fighting and man is resisting and man is altering and man is changing the fact that God created man male and female. And all that that teaches us and all that that implies and all that that says to us about human beings, about their being made male and female, and about marriage and what a biblical scriptural marriage is. And what sexual misconduct is abominable to God. It's abominable to God. In the beginning, God created man. In the beginning and from the beginning, God created man, male and female. There's a preacher that I listen to many times for my own devotion time and my own exhortation. He pastors a big church, so-called, over in the Cleveland area. He's got not just a national, but he's got a worldwide radio ministry. And I've always found him a very sound man and a man that I was blessed by listening to. But in the last few weeks, he has stirred up a great controversy. He was asked a question, I guess, by a grandma, by an elderly woman. And she wanted to know, should she go to the wedding of her grandchild who was marrying a transgender person? And this man, who I've thought so much of and has been such a blessing to me, responded by saying, you should go to the wedding. You should show the love of Christ by going to the wedding and buying them a gift. And I said to myself, when does it stop? When does it stop? God created man, male and female. Male and female created he them. And that tells us all we need to know about sexual ethics. And we don't show the love of Christ by participating in that which is ungodly. Amen. We don't show the love of Christ by participating in that which is abominable. We don't show the love of Christ by fighting and by resisting the fact that God made man male and female. We show the love of Christ by the love of truth. We show the love of Christ by believing the truth. We show the love of Christ by standing for the truth. We show the love of Christ by having convictions that are not subject to change. God made man male and female. And throughout all of the scriptural record, from Genesis to Revelation, you find God reinforcing that I've made man male and female. And this is what I expect from men and women. And this is what I see as a scriptural marriage. And this is what I see as pleasing the Lord. And this is what Jesus tells us in many places is an abomination. Needless to say, I won't listen to this gentleman anymore. He's a great expositor of Scripture. That's one of his landmark things, is his exposition of Scripture. And I told somebody, I think it was last Wednesday, or it may have been last Sunday, that if you're really doing an exposition of Scripture, it's hard to go wrong. If you're looking at a text and you're studying who's being spoken of, what's being spoken about, and you're looking at the text and what it plainly says, and you're just doing an exposition, it's hard to go wrong if you just say, this is what the Bible says. But boy, here's a time when this individual stopped speaking expositorily and got opinion and politics into it. And so he has lost my respect, and I pray God will help me never to compromise on such things. Male and female created he them. In verse number 3, I want you to notice, and Adam lived 130 years, and he begat a son in his own likeness, after his image, and called his name Seth. God made Adam. God made Adam in his likeness. Adam had a son by the name of Seth, and Seth was brought forth in Adam's likeness. You know what that tells us? That man was created perfect, and man was created sinless, and man was created in God's image. But once man fell, man began to bring forth after his image. What does that mean? That means once man fell into sin, man began to bring forth sinners. Man began to bring forth those after his likeness, not God's likeness. This passage of Scripture tells us that everyone is a sinner. Everyone is a sinner, without exception. Adam was made in the image of God, and in his likeness he was made. But those that Adam fathered were born with his likeness, his fallen likeness. Every human being that has come since the fall is fallen. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. These are those that we are identifying as being in the godly line. But even these that are found in the godly line were born sinful and needed Savior, needed to be saved. And so it has continued up to this very hour. There is nobody here this morning. Nobody. No exception. No loophole. There is nobody here this morning. I don't care who you are, where you were born, who your parents were, what you know, what you don't know. There is nobody here this morning who's not a sinner. God made Adam in His image. But all those that came forth after Adam come into this world with Adam's image, come into this world as a sinner. You need to be saved today because you're a sinner. You're a sinner because you have come forth from Adam's seed, from Adam's line. And it doesn't matter what loophole or what exception you want to try to consider this morning. Everyone is a sinner. And this thought of verse number 3, Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth. That teaches us that all are sinners. And obviously that teaches us what? Everybody needs to be saved. Don't think of yourself as the exception. Don't sit there and say in your stubbornness and your pride, oh, I'm not a sinner. I don't need to be saved. The Word of God says you are a sinner. Word of God says everybody needs to be saved. Everybody needs a Savior. No exceptions. Will you be saved? God only knows. But do you need to be saved? We all know that because that's what Scripture teaches us. Everyone that follows Adam, every human being is a sinner. And every human being needs to be saved. Because there's a third thought I want you to get this morning. If you don't get anything else I have to say, particularly from this passage of Scripture, get those three thoughts. Get those three thoughts. Everyone, including you, is a sinner. Everyone, including you, needs to be saved. You want to know why? Because everyone, including you, is one day going to die. There's no way to get around it. You're going to die, my friend. I don't care if you're young. I don't care if you're old. I don't care if you're in perfect health. I don't care if you're in declining health. Everybody here is appointed to one day die. Everybody's a sinner. Everybody needs to be saved because everybody's going to die. And then what are you going to have? What are you going to face? What are you going to have to live throughout eternity with? Verse number 5, and all the days of Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. And all the days of Seth, verse 8, were 912 years, and he died. Verse 11, and all the days of Enos were 905 years, and he died. And all the days of Canaan, verse 14, were 910 years, and he died. And all the days of Mahalalel, in verse number 17, were 895 years, and he died. In verse 20, all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. Verse number 24. Uh-oh. Pattern changes. Enoch didn't die. Enoch was translated. Enoch was raptured. Enoch was caught up. Why was he caught up? Because he walked with God. Because there was a change. And God saw fit to bless him by raising him. Methuselah's record is the same in verse number 27. Lamech's record in verse number 31 is the same. And he died. This is the laying forth of the genealogies up to the time of the flood. The time of Noah and his three sons entering the ark. The world being replenished. And he died. And he died. It doesn't matter what you think. Doesn't matter how resistant you are to it, you're going to die. You're going to die. The Department of Justice, the Justice Department, did a review of the shooting at Uvalde. You remember that story? Not that long ago, really. A gunman went into that school. And most of those he killed were grade school kids, elementary students. It was either today or yesterday it was the anniversary, the one-year anniversary of the shooter that went into the University of Michigan. Make sure I got my universities right. Michigan State, not University of Michigan. The green ones, not the go blue. But that shooter went in there and what, three people were killed? What does that teach us? Everybody's going to die. And there's no guarantee. Wow, 900 plus years, 800 plus years. Yeah, but it doesn't matter how long they lived, they still died. And there's no guarantee of how long you're going to live, but it's guaranteed you're going to die. You're not going to get around that. Everybody is one day going to die. I was listening to an interview of Johnny Erickson Tada, and when she was 17 years old, I think it was, she dove into the Chesapeake Bay. And she struck her head on a sandbar of sorts, and she snapped her spinal cord. She barely survived drowning. She was gotten out. And this, I think, is close to the time. She's in her 70s now. She has spent her life as a quadriplegic. She has spent her life suffering. She has spent a life of difficulties. The things that have gone into her care and the things that she's experienced are not only things that I'm thankful I was spared, but I just don't think I could go through it as well as she. But you know what? In spite of the great tragedy and in spite of her spending all those 50, 60 years as a quadriplegic, she met Jesus Christ. Even in that pitiful condition, she needed a Savior. She couldn't gain any brownie points. She couldn't gain any bonus points because of the terrible cards that she was dealt. In spite of all that she had to go through, she still needed a Savior. And she gives the testimony of knowing Jesus Christ as her Savior. And she gives the testimony of not being bitter and not being angry. And she gives the testimony of God meaning all of that she went through for good. And God being glorified through all of that, which I think she always gives as God's business and not hers. She needed a Savior. She was saved by God's grace and gives testimony of knowing Jesus Christ as her Savior. You know why she needs a Savior? Because sooner or later she's going to die. She's in her 70s now. Sooner or later, she's going to come face to face with death. And she'll not be spared. She needs a Savior. In this interview that I was looking at, listening to, there was another man being interviewed. I don't remember exactly how old they said he was. Didn't look like he was that old. But this man was born without any arms. without any legs. Can you imagine life without arms and legs? What would become of you if you didn't have arms and legs? Who would take care of you? How would you survive? It's beyond my comprehension how he could live all these many years without arms and legs, but he has. And he gives testimony to the fact that he knows Jesus Christ as his Savior. And in spite of all that he had to go through, he needed a Savior. And he found a Savior in Jesus Christ. And he gives testimony to the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. And you know why he needed a Savior? Because sooner or later, he's going to die. Sooner or later, everybody's going to have to die. Everybody born after the seed, the similitude of Adam, is born a sinner. And everyone who is a sinner needs to be saved. And everybody needs to be saved because sooner or later you're going to die. Sooner or later we're all going to die. This man that I was talking about in this condition, says he asked people, are you ready to go off into eternity? Are you ready to face eternity with those last words that you spoke being the last words you spoke? What have you talked about today? What have you spoken of today? What words have come out of your mouth? Are you ready to die and to face God, to stand before God with those being your last words? I think that's a sobering question. Even for God's people. Bam, you're dead. And you have to face God with the last things that came out of your mouth today. Or the last things that came out of your mouth yesterday. Are you ready for that time? Are you ready? Lost friend, what's the last words that came out of your mouth? And if you were to die right now, are you ready to face God with those last words? I don't think so. I don't think so. If right now you were breathing your last breath on earth, your last moments of life, how would you want to spend them? How would you want to live? It is possible that you're spending your last moments on earth right now. It is possible before the sun sets tonight, you could be called off into eternity into the presence of the Lord. And then what will you have? Then what will you have? As I think we've read and quoted recently, Jesus Christ himself asked the question, what is a man profited? Should he gain the whole world and lose his soul? Amen. That hits the nail on the head right now. As far as the last thing you're going to say, the last things you're going to do, sooner or later, you're going to say the last thing. Sooner or later, you're going to do those last things, and you're going to be called off into eternity. And what shall it profit you if you've had all the world, but you end up losing your soul in the end? What good does it do you, my friend, to be successful, to have a great education, to be noted and notable in the world? What does it do you? What good does it do you if you die without Jesus Christ? There he goes, those scare tactics. I'm not preaching scare tactics. I'm preaching reality to you. God is teaching us. God is declaring unto us. Adam brought forth Seth. Seth was brought forth in Adam's likeness. Seth was brought forth in Adam's image. That means he was brought forth a fallen creature, a fallen sinner. and needed to be saved. And everybody here today has come into this world a sinner. Consequently, everybody here needs to be saved. Because sooner or later, everybody's going to die. That's reality. I don't believe it. I think something else is going to happen. Well, look around you. What are the facts bearing out? Has man stopped dying? Has man come up with a cure for everything? Has man developed a way that we can get out of this world without dying? No. It's still appointed unto man once to die. And it doesn't matter what you think about me. It doesn't matter what you think about this church. It doesn't matter what you think about those people that are sitting around you. It doesn't matter what you think about your parents. It doesn't matter what you think about life. You're going to die one day. You're going to die. This could be that day. Then what will you have? What will you have? Our children are ours for a very short time. This could be the day they die. Are we concerned for their salvation? I ask you that before we'll continue to ask it. We're so concerned with so many things when it concerns our children. But are we concerned about the most important thing of all? Amen. Their soul. Amen. Their soul and their need of a Savior. Adam was made in the image of God, but then Adam fell into sin. And Seth was born in his image with that sinful nature. And all those that come since Adam are born sinners, and everyone consequently needs a Savior because everybody's going to die. Are you ready to die? What's more important than that? Let's stand.